were very, very troubled. Their Lord and Master has just told them that he is going away. We find that in John chapter 13. The one who had turned water into wine, who had healed the sick, had fed the multitude with not much, now was leaving. The one who'd spoken a lot about God, made some extraordinary statements about himself, walked on water, healed the blind man, raised Lazarus from the dead, was now about to go away. And because their Lord and Master was going away, these kind of questions were going through their minds. Where is he going? How could he help anyone if he goes away? How can we cope without him? Their hearts were shuddering because Jesus was leaving. They thought now they'd be alone. They could not see the way ahead. As they looked to the future, it looked like it was all caving in. I wonder, is that your feeling tonight, perhaps? You look to the future and you think your future is all caving in. Our hearts might be troubled tonight because we can't see the road ahead. Perhaps there is uncertainty about our future. Perhaps a loved one you know is about to die and you aren't quite sure how you could cope. Perhaps you look to see how Australia is changing and you can sense that there's more persecution coming, and there probably is. You look at that and you think, how will we cope? How will I cope? Perhaps is what you're thinking. You might feel alone here tonight. You might feel alone in your particular circumstances. Well, if tonight you can't see the way ahead in your life, God has brought you here to hear this word from him. And even if you're not feeling like that, in the future you might, and this is a great word of encouragement for us. Jesus has a word for us tonight. And this is from John 14. It's the night before Jesus dies. It carries on, of course, from John 13, what we looked at last week. And here is the word from Jesus to those with troubled hearts. Look at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Then look down to verse 27 and the last part of that verse. Same thing. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Here we have a very direct command from Jesus, and it's an ongoing command. Don't let your hearts be troubled. It might look like your world is falling apart. You might be wondering, what's going on? I'm about to go. You might think your world is closing in on you, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Now you might think, well, that's a typical bloke. They just say, just don't do it. Like, get over it. Come on. Well, those two commands of Jesus like bookend our passage tonight. At the start of it, don't let your hearts be troubled. At the end of it, don't let your hearts be troubled. And in the middle, we see how Jesus does ease troubled hearts. He told his followers, don't be troubled. Then he gives them the way to do it. Look again at verse 1. You believe in God, or more literally, believe in God, believe also in me. And the idea is to keep on trusting, keep on believing. Not a one-off sense of trust, but a sense of keeping on trusting and believing. How does Jesus ease troubled hearts? It's by faith. The way for our troubled hearts to be eased is to believe in God and his Son. It's not some vague belief in Jesus or vague belief in God. This passage tells us two particular things we are to trust Jesus in. Two things Jesus says, trust me in this. The first is this. Trust that you'll be with me one day in my Father's house. How does Jesus ease troubled hearts? Trust in God, trust also in me, and firstly, particularly, trust that we'll be with Jesus one day. Look at verse 2. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. It was this time 2 years ago, I had the great privilege of being on long service leave. And around about this time, I had the great blessing of going to Germany. Never been there before. And found out a lot more about World War II history. And we went to a number of museums about that war. And some images stick in my mind of, and you may have seen them as well, where there are Jewish people crammed into train carriages. They're in there like sardines. There's no room for them, but they're in there. And they're on their way to death. There's no room as they're on their way to death. In this passage, there is a huge contrast to that. A huge contrast. In the Father's house, there are plenty of rooms. Plenty of rooms. And Jesus going there will prepare the place for us. See, this is the night before he died. The next day he would die. He would die as the Lamb of God to take away our sin. And the good news is there are plenty of rooms. And Jesus has prepared that place for us. About 3 years ago, went on a marriage enrichment weekend with Simon and Angela and Sashi and Andy and some others as well. And each of our rooms were beautifully prepared. They had this big, not big picture of us, but a big drawing with our names in each room. Had a great TV, but that said, don't watch the TV. Spend time with your spouse. And there was Foxtel. We don't have Foxtel. I thought, oh, here's a great. No, spend time with your spouse. And it was great. It was a wonderful room. Lots of smelly stuff and all that kind of stuff. Lovely prepared. Was lovingly prepared for us. Well, wonderfully, there's a room prepared for each of us in the Father's house. Prepared in blood by the death of God's Son. Jesus says, trust in me, you'll be with me one day. Totally secure. See, despite increased persecution that might come, that will come, we are promised persecution. And even if we die for our faith, our future is secure in the Father's house. There were some questions, though, with that. Look at verse 4. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Then Jesus reassures them. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. And then Jesus said to him, Philip, you've seen me already. And then Jesus goes on to speak about the intimate relationship between the Father and the Son. We bring this first point together then. What is the first way that Jesus eases troubled hearts about the future? Jesus says, your future is secure with me. In his going there, he has prepared a place for us. Now, picture it. It could be something like this. We all go by bus together, driven to this particular, we go to a house. And we're told, go in the front door, there's a long corridor. And we're told, find the door which has your name. So we walk in there. And Kai sees his door. Then Steve. Then Colin. Sashi. Oh, there's. Keep going. Where's my door, you think? Oh, just keep going. There's Sandra's door. There's Michelle's door. There's a a door with each of our names on it. And we're told by the person in charge, okay, on three, everyone, open your door. This is the door, into the room the Father has prepared for us. And we open it, and there we see him, the crucified one, who's died to prepare a place. And he's come back. He was actually the driver of the bus that took us to this house. And we're in the one room together, that room that the Father has prepared. It could be like that. But we will be in the presence of the Lord, the crucified one. If our hearts are troubled tonight, trust in what the Lord is saying. Your future is absolutely secure. Jesus will come back and take us to be with him. It is guaranteed by his resurrection from the dead. The second way Jesus says to trust me is to say, trust that he and the Father are with us and in us now by the Spirit. Look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Here's a promise that the Spirit will be in and with the followers of Jesus. And notice he's called another advocate. What Jesus has done, the Spirit will do. He will do what Jesus does, plead our case to God. See, an advocate stands up in a court of law and explains to the judge how things are for his or her client's point of view. The advocate pleads the case. Jesus is predicting here that his followers will one day find themselves persecuted and arrested and in front of a judge because they believe. And he seeks to reassure them. And he also sees the heavenly law court with God as judge. And in that court, we can be assured that our case will be heard. We can be assured that God will hear and be reminded what Jesus has done. And if we ever are arrested, we can be assured the Spirit will plead on our behalf. Now, the word advocate can also be translated helper. Helper. It means someone who comes to lend assistance to do various things. And as the followers of Jesus now, we have amazing tasks of greater works and prayer to do. Look at verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And that greater work is leading other people to the Father. That happens because the Spirit has come. The Spirit brings conviction. It brings conversion. He brings conversion. And there's a great promise here. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, that happens as people come to Christ, as they believe in Jesus. The Father is glorified in the Son. People see how amazing the Father is. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. The other help of the Spirit of truth enables us to do those things. The Spirit is the advocate. The Spirit is the helper, the other helper, and then the Spirit is the other comforter. The word can also be translated comforter. Comfort is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Perhaps you've been to a funeral and you don't know what to say. That's quite a common experience, and that's okay. Because there is power in your presence there. There's power in presence when somebody is in all kinds of grief. You might just give somebody a hug. You might just stand there and not say anything. That's okay. And of course, it doesn't have to be at a funeral where we are in grief. It can be any time, can't it? But somebody there with you has a very powerful help, don't they? Don't need to say anything. Sometimes actually saying something makes it worse. If you give somebody a hug or they know that you're there for them, it doesn't take the trouble away, does it? If you've ever done that or experienced that, it doesn't take the trouble away. But somehow when someone's there with you, it helps, doesn't it? It eases the pain somehow. There's power in presence, your presence. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is that comforter, that help for troubled hearts tonight or whenever they might come. The Spirit of Truth, the other advocate, other helper, other comforter. See, we are not left alone as God's people. And the Spirit is the way God is with us now. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will be your comfort. The other week or so, I Googled, what does it feel like to be an orphan? What does it feel like to be an orphan? And these are some of the things that came up. I feel robbed. I feel vulnerable. I feel utterly alone. I feel abandoned. The most painful thing was the cruel way that my parents were taken away. The water just swept through the gully and they were gone. They were taken in a car accident and I was left all alone. I'm not sure how I'll face the future now that my parents have gone. We might feel alone. We might feel like orphans. But the great reality is that we're not. We are never alone. Never alone. Jesus is with us by his Spirit. And it's not just Jesus who's with us by the Spirit. The Father is as well. Look at verse 23. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and our home will be with them." This is a staggering reality, isn't it? The Spirit of Truth given by the Father is the way the Father and the Son are with us. And we enter into that wonderful relationship that the Father and the Son have. We are not left as orphans. We are never alone. They are with us as our advocate, helper, and comforter. And so tonight, if, for example, you find yourself, you are the only Christian in your family, you are never alone. You are the only Christian in your workplace, you are never alone. If you're the only Christian in your sporting team or your sporting group, you are never alone. The only person in your class at school, you are never alone. You are persecuted because you belong to Jesus. You are never alone. The Heavenly Father is with you. If for some crazy reason, the North Korean leader presses the button on his desk and Donald Trump presses the bigger button on his desk and World War III breaks out, there is nuclear war. We are never alone. Next Friday, your brother dies. Next Saturday, your husband dies. Today, your child might die. You are never alone. Jesus is with us by the Spirit, the other advocate, helper, and comforter. Whatever situation you can imagine where you feel alone, you are never alone. The Father and the Son are with us by his Spirit. Verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And then another word of comfort, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In the last section of this chapter, Jesus goes on to talk about the battle with the world and the forces of darkness and with the devil. But they will have no final hold on him. He would go to the Father, and the disciples would be glad, and the Spirit would come. And for us, now that Jesus has died and been raised and taken back to the Father, the word to us tonight is to believe, to keep on believing. And so we bring this together like that. How does Jesus ease troubled hearts? Jesus says, trust in God, trust in me. Trust that you'll be with Jesus one day. The future is secure, and every step along the way is secure as well. The Father and the Son are with us and in us by the Spirit. Is your heart troubled about the future? It's uncertain. Don't be, says Jesus. Trust in God. Trust also in me.